Today on Maine Calling, retirement today. What does it mean to retire, especially now? The scenario from the movies goes something like this. At age 65, you stop working full-time, get a retirement party, and maybe a gold watch. And then, for the rest of your life, you relax from dawn to dusk, maybe playing golf or bird watching. Yeah, right. There are a lot of cliches and myths around retirement. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will explore what's really happening for many people. Experts will tell you that retirement is a deeply personal decision, but one that we often are not ready to grapple with, emotionally or financially. Today's program is part of a two-part Maine Calling series on retirement. Today, we'll discuss the whole concept of retirement and modern life. Tomorrow, the financial side of it. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Maine Farmland Trust, working this summer to purchase and protect the historic Morris Farm in Wiscasset. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org. By Welch and Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, supporting Maine island communities through education, health, and community engagement. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The concept of retirement means different things to different people, especially today. Well, we are going to discuss the many factors that characterize this later phase in life and some of the questions you might want to ask yourself about how you envision yourself in your retirement years. Joining me for this conversation, Teresa Amabile, who is Professor Emerita in Business Administration with Harvard Business School. She is co-author of the new book, Retiring, Creating a Life That Works for You. It comes out in early October. Noelle Bonham is the State Director for AARP Maine, and Catherine Collinson is the founding CEO of Transamerica Institute and Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. We invite you to join the conversation. Have you retired? Was retirement what you expected? Are you thinking about it? Share your story or your questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us for what I know is going to be such an interesting conversation. And I'll start with you, Noel. How is the concept of retirement changing? Do most people think of it the same way their parents did?
Good to be back, Jennifer. I don't think a lot of people are thinking of retirement the same way their parents or grandparents did. A whole range of things have happened in the past few years, past few decades, that kind of changed how people think about retirement. And we're finding that a lot more people are, first of all, working longer than they thought they would. And that a lot of people that are, you know, who, if you ask 30 plus year old adults if they ever want to retire, most of them, an overwhelming number, will say they plan to retire. When you ask them what age they plan to retire, you know, the age they actually retire is much less than what they actually intend to. And I think there are a whole bunch of factors that influence why there's a shift. And I think, you know, people want to do more things after they retire. And when you ask, a good overwhelming number of folks will say, you know, before they retire, are you going to do something when you retire? Or are you going to just, you know, sit back and put your feet up? And most of them will say, no, I think I want to do something, right? And that also is a pretty significant shift, I think, you know, where people are really saying, I want to do something even when I retire. I don't think I can fully retire in the traditional sense of retirement.
Teresa, for your new book, you and your co-authors interviewed more than 120 people about retirement. What were some of the themes or trends that surprised you?
Hi, Jennifer. I think that one of the biggest surprises for me was we discovered retiring actually takes a lot of work. I know we tend to think of retiring as a time when we will stop working, but there's a different kind of work we have to do to retire in a way that will lead us to a satisfying retirement life. There are tasks that we have to engage in. First of all, we have to decide when and how to retire. In many developed and wealthy countries, there's a mandatory retirement age, but in the States, that's illegal in most professions. So the decision itself is a big deal for us. And we also have to, after we decide that we're going to retire, we have to figure out how we're going to detach from our work, not just tangibly, but also psychologically, which is often a lot more difficult in surprising ways for a lot of people. They don't think it's going to be any problem, and it is sometimes. And the third thing we have to do is literally restructure our lives. That takes a lot of work because there's been something that's been structuring our lives sometimes for decades. Whether we loved it or didn't love it, our work structured our days and our weeks and our months. And now we've got to figure out some other way to be and something to do with that time. So a lot of work involved in retiring.
Catherine, I want to return to something Noel mentioned, this disconnect between when people think they will retire and when they really do. I've read that the average age in which people think they'll retire is 67, but that the real average is 62. What does your research show? Why is that?
Oh, well, there are so many trends at work. And one of the things, and by the way, I agree with everything that Noelle and Teresa are saying, and we're seeing it in our research. And we've been doing this research for years and surveying retirees to learn exactly when and how they retired. And there are times where we can choose life and when life chooses us. So a common workforce trend, we see that people, almost half are expecting to retire after age 65 or not planning to retire at all, and over half plan to continue working at least part-time in retirement. When we look at the experience of retirees, almost to your point, the median age they retired is just 62. Almost 6 in 10 say they retired sooner than they had planned. And often, and this is life's unforeseen circumstances, often it's either due to personal health related issues or employment related issues. For example, maybe they lost their job, they wanted to continue working, but they just couldn't find employment. So the added insight that I'll share here is all indicators are it can be a really bumpy transition because it is such a major life change. But I also want to give you a little spoiler alert. The good news is once you get through that transition, the data is showing people are really enjoying their time in retirement.
Oh, great information. Noel, I want to return to AARP's recent study where you asked people what retirement means to them. And so I will ask you, what were the answers? What were the big answers? And then what was sort of ranked low that you thought you were a little surprised by?
When the ARP survey, questioned a very large number of retirees, this is what we found in terms of, when they were asked, why are you retiring or what are you hoping to, get out of your retirement? Most adults actually said that they were retiring to be able to take care of themselves and to maintain their independence, like, that once they retire, they wouldn't have to like answer to someone, not have to wake up in the morning, go to work, and like they could be in control of their own daily schedule.
So freedom.
Freedom. Yeah. I mean, freedom was this like across the board was this emerging theme. A lot of people kept talking about freedom and how free they would be once they kind of retired, and then free from obligations, free from having to respond or answer to someone. And so that was a big theme. And then that the other thing too was that 64% of them wanted to retire because they felt like they wouldn't have enough time to really sit back and enjoy retirement. So they felt like that was something they worked really hard all their lives, and they wanted to get to a point where they could actually retire and enjoy later years in life.
Teresa.
We had some really interesting reinforcements of the ideas that Noel just gave us in our interviews, but some really surprising differences maybe. So when we asked people who were 55 plus but still working about retirement, and we did this partly through a word association game. So we just gave them a bunch of words and we said, just say the first thing that pops into your head. Not surprisingly, one of the words we gave them was retirement. And many of them said freedom or independence or, no more answering to somebody else. But a lot of them said something like scary, uncertain, or even never. And when we probed a little bit deeper in the interview, we found out that these folks used terms like, gosh, it seems like leaping off the cliff into the void, or words like that, where they didn't have a sense of what life would be like on the other side. And I think this gets to some of what Catherine said about the bumpiness of this transition and what it can entail. And I think a lot of people kind of sense that bumpiness on the other side, and they want to stay in something familiar and safe, which is their career.
Noel.
And the same research, we found that though most people said that they were, really looking for personal fulfillment when they retire, 46% of the same people said they were not planning for it. They were not preparing to, when they retired, what that personal fulfillment would look like,
Sort of, I'll
right?
just cross that
Like,
bridge when I come to it attitude, right?
okay,
Yeah.
yeah,
Catherine,
exactly.
I spent some time on your website, so much interesting information in the Transamerica Institute for Retirement Studies. And I noticed that you have looked at retirement based on demographics, all sorts of demographics, but one is urban and rural. Maine, of course, a predominantly rural state. What are the differences in what retirement means in a rural area?
A few things in our most recent survey, where we took a deep dive to do those demographic comparisons, looking at people in rural areas. And what we saw is, granted, the cost of living can be lower in rural areas, but they haven't saved as much. And so the indicators are many are going to need to work longer and retire at an older age. And they share that expectation. And it's not the one of the other things that we see in our research is we ask people who are looking to work longer and retire at an older age or keep working in retirement, the reasons for doing so. And it's almost split down the middle with this citing what we call healthy aging reasons and financial reasons. So money's very important and being able to pay your bills and access to health benefits. However, people are also working longer for personal fulfillment and what we call healthy aging related issues. And then some of the other things that we see in rural areas are expectations of a greater reliance on Social Security. And I really want to point this out because this is a big financial thing, is if you're counting on Social Security, which most Americans are, really learn about your benefits and claiming strategies and ways to optimize your benefits. And I get nervous when I see the survey data showing that retirees are claiming their Social Security benefits at 62 or 63, the youngest age possible. Whereas if they could stretch that out to age 67 or even to age 70, they're going to be able to substantially increase their monthly benefits. And Social Security has a cost of annual cost of living adjustment, which many other types of savings and investments don't offer. So, to just really learn about your Social Security benefits and how they can possibly improve your financial situation.
Great advice, Catherine. And something I haven't mentioned yet in the program is this program today is part of a two-part series. And tomorrow on the program, personal finance expert Michelle Singletary is our guest. And she'll be talking about the personal finance around retirement. So I'm sure she's going to build on your advice about Social Security, Catherine. I really appreciate that. And Teresa, I want to return to you for this other part, because there's the financial considerations, but what you're focusing on is sort of everything else, this whole like tying it, how this entire sense of self that many of us have is tied in with our careers. And maybe we don't plan for what it's going to be like when that's no longer who we are.
Yeah, we found that a lot of people are kind of gobsmacked by the identity issues that hit them as they're going into retirement. Even if they didn't feel like during their career they identified a lot with their work or their career, their profession, or their organization, they sometimes feel like it's a real loss of part of their self, part of who they are when they stop working. And we found a number of ways that people dealt with that, successfully dealt with it. Sometimes it was a struggle finding ways to deal with it. But one of the most successful things that we saw was what we named identity bridging. And that is figuring out some piece of who you have been during your working life and figure out how to carry that over post-retirement. So one person we retired had been a leader in part of his company before retiring. He had risen to that level. After retirement, he felt called to enact that leader identity by agreeing to be nominated to lead up the board of his church. And he did, in fact, take on that role. And he found that very fulfilling in a way of enacting that pre-retirement identity that had been so important to him. And other people find that they want to develop a new identity as they're retiring. Margaret was a successful high-tech professional. She thought about who she was and who she had been working in the last years of her career. And she said, you know, I have been a couch potato and I don't want to be that anymore. And when I interviewed her after she retired, I interviewed her many times. She said, I wanted to develop a new identity of being a fit person and taking care of myself rather than coming home and just collapsing from all those hours of work and just sitting and reading or watching TV. She joined a gym the day after retiring and actually signed up for a couple of classes where not only did she engage in these and start to feel stronger and healthier, but she also developed some fun new relationships there.
I want to follow up on that idea with some great tips from Catherine and Noelle as well, but I do need to take a break. We are talking about retirement in today's world and what it means. What does it mean to you? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or post a comment on Facebook or Instagram. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're discussing what it means to retire and how the concept of what retirement varies from person to person, a very personal decision. With me, Noelle Bonham, Maine State Director for AARP. Catherine Collinson, founding CEO of Transamerica Institute and the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. And Teresa Amabile, co-author of the upcoming book, Retiring, Creating a Life That Works for You. She's also Professor Emerita at Harvard Business School. Share your comments and questions. Email talk@mainpublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. So many good messages coming in, but I want to give Catherine, you and Noelle a chance to follow up on what Teresa was talking about before. Catherine, you said the good news is that even though it can be rocky, even though it can be tough, people feel satisfied, feel fulfilled when they make it to the other side. And I wondered if you could either share some stories or give some tips to build on what Teresa has already told us.
Absolutely. And yes, that is the good news. When we ask retirees how they're doing, they are enjoying life. Their finances may have changed, but they're just enjoying their life. Their quality of life has improved. When we look at indicators of happiness and connections with family and friends, many are just sort of off the charts. So things are, and many have a positive view of aging, which I think is really important to underscore. There's been some terrific work, Becca Levy at Yale University. Your attitudes about aging can actually affect how well you age. So the retirees that we survey, by and large, they're doing really well. Granted, they're healthy enough to conduct survey or to participate in surveys. And they're spending their time with family and friends. They're traveling. Travel dipped down a bit during the pandemic, understandably so. We've touched on family and friends and social connections. Another big thing that is helping drive purpose is the extent to which they're doing volunteer work, getting involved with a local organization. And I really want to focus on that. That sort of builds on what Teresa is talking about. But finding new pathways, able to do things that they weren't able to do before due to the time requirements and restrictions, especially if they're employed by others. So, and it's very personal. That's the other thing that we see. Retirement means what it is, and that life experience is unique to each and every one of us. There is no cookie cutter. There is no mold. There's tips and things that we can do to plan and prepare, but it's really all about us. Mm-hmm. And then I do want to turn this over to you, but I have one really kind of fun factoid that I love is we'll look at people in the workforce relative to those who are self-employed. So employed by others, a company, an organization versus self-employed. For the self-employed, many of them, the whole idea of retirement is kind of irrelevant because why give up something that you love to do just because you turn a certain age? They are much more likely to work longer and retire later. The one thing that I would love to see more of them do is actually have an exit strategy for their business. So,
you know, it's so interesting you say that, Catherine, because I know you're coming to us from California, but Maine is as one of the states that has the most tiny businesses, you know, self-employed or family businesses in the nation. So really interesting. And I'm going to read an email in just a minute that also relates to this, but I want to give Noelle a chance to maybe chime in with maybe a tip or two that you haven't heard yet from Teresa and Catherine.
I think the other really important thing to kind of state, you know, the fact to kind of put out there is that people are actually living longer, which is a good thing, right? And also we're seeing that people actually are working longer. So when we started the show, we talked about how people are retiring much earlier than they were intending to, but that retirement age of 61 or 62 is actually still much later than what people used to retire in the 90s, you know, when people used to retire in the 90s, because it was around 57 then, right? So people are staying longer, working longer, living longer, which I think is a great thing. But when they retire, and as they retire, going back to what Catherine said, ARP just did a Vital Voices survey of Mainers and asked the question around, like, you know, how does age affect you as you kind of prepare for retirement, and how do you kind of really see your value in terms of the society as you kind of prepare to retire and age? And, you know, 2 in 3 feel that they become more involved in helping others as they age. There's a sense of worth and they feel like they really are able to contribute. And 88% believe that wisdom comes with age and that there is a lot of value in passing that on. It kind of building on what Catherine said, like people actually feel like they get to a point where there's so much that they can do and therefore find value in the ability to kind of share what they've gained over the years. And that comes with age and experience.
So many calls and emails coming in. I'll start with this email from Stephen. At age 72, I retired from owning the business that I started and grew to a staff of 15 over 45 years. Now, 3 years into retirement, I must admit that I still miss our many customers, our staff, and our contribution to the community we served. I'm very busy in my daily life, but it certainly lacks the satisfaction of creativity, the sense of achievement, and satisfaction from helping others that my business afforded me. I am frequently nostalgic for that long chapter and still yearn to make a significant impact in battling climate change, but must remind myself that as a small business owner and entrepreneur, I was a big fish in a small pond, and now I am an insignificant fish in a very big ocean. Teresa.
Wow, there are so many important issues raised in that email. And this is not an uncommon reaction for people who have been deeply engaged in what they were doing while they were still working full time. Part of it has to do with relationships. You don't realize sometimes how much you're going to miss the relationships that you had while you were working. Coworkers, clients, subordinates, customers, the people that you saw every day, maybe it was your suppliers, your distributors. Those relationships can mean more than you think they will. As you're approaching retirement, you might want to think about which of those relationships you're willing to work at retaining. If you become close friends at work with a colleague, you might start socializing with that person outside of work as you're approaching retirement so that you can retain that relationship if it feels right for both of you to do that. The other thing is to think about expanding and deepening the relationships you already have, family, friends outside of work, and developing new relationships through new activities. And it sounds like this person who emailed in needs something more in their life to be able to feel fulfilled and active and purposeful. And very often that is through political engagement or volunteering. And the volunteering or political engagement can, in fact, fulfill both of those needs. The need to have meaning in your life and feel that you're contributing to something important, and the need for deep new relationships.
Catherine.
A tip that I'd like to share it's so obvious, but we don't think about it, is finding mentors or reaching out to people that you know that have made the transition well, or that you're curious how they made the transition. Asking somebody for a cup of coffee or a Zoom call to hear their story. People love sharing their stories. And that can offer really important guidance to help you find your way. And it can also open up new opportunities, because once you start planting seeds that you're looking for something, they're more likely to, you know, word gets out, this person's available to help out with this. All of a sudden, your phone's going to start ringing. And one of my single greatest mentor in life was my grandmother. And when she turned 90, she had a friend who turned 100, who was her mentor in older age. So mentors happen at all ages. And this is a really important time where you can learn with others from others.
I love that, Catherine. You know, look, maybe finding somebody, maybe Stephen can find somebody who also owned a business and maybe retired a few years before he did, and is seeming happy and fulfilled. Noelle.
And I want to go back to something that Teresa had said as well. Like it takes planning. You know, retirement is there's an element of planning that helps retirement become more fulfilling. You know, if you talk to people who are planning to retire, about 77% of them say, I'm going to spend time on hobbies and leisure and connect with folks, but only 72% are able to do that. When you talk to folks about volunteering for causes before they retire, there's 44% say, I'm definitely going to volunteer for a cause, but only 32% end up doing it. So there's a difference. And I think some of that, difference really is because one's ability to plan or investment in planning for retirement to be able to kind of do these things. Like Catherine said, call someone or connect with someone. That takes planning, right? And I think that's where sometimes people find that it's not as they had thought it would be.
We'll go to Mike, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I feel really lucky in how retirement has gone for me. I retired at 62. That was not my intention. I really had found my calling and I was really doing well. But then my things changed and the agency I worked for got absorbed. So I retired. And since then, I've been doing great. I've been volunteering, doing a lot of volunteer driving, more involved in church, committee stuff, you know. As soon as you're retired, they want you. And I've had a lot of shop time to play. So,
Mike, let me ask you if I'm so happy. I'm very happy for you that you're happy. And I just want to ask you, did you go through that little sort of rocky phase where you, you know, were adrift a little while, or did you plunge right in?
Really, I plunged right in. I took, you know, a couple of weeks of being a slug, but I knew that wasn't going to last. And, you know, I already knew, I mean, I worked in social service my whole life. So, you know, just giving back and being of service is what I do. So now I do it, but without pay. And boy, is that freeing.
Ah, and Teresa, I know you want to respond to Mike, and I'm also going to put, I'm guessing it might be a little easier for extroverts than introverts sometimes to make this transition. It sounds like Mike is comfortable reaching out to people, comfortable jumping into new things. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, I'm so happy for you. It sounds like it's been going great. I do suspect that you're an extrovert. I was thinking the same thing Jennifer was. It may not be true, but certainly you are accustomed to connecting with people and working to help people. So it sounds like it was kind of a natural transition for you from doing that for pay to doing it not for pay as a volunteer and probably more on your own terms. Which is great. I wanted to acknowledge, though, this gets back to something Catherine said earlier. A lot of people, far too many people, end up involuntarily retiring, which sounds like it was the case for you, because their job just disappears. And they either don't want to look for another one because they're at or near retirement age already, or they do and they're not successful. But I just wanted to acknowledge that. And I also wanted to suggest that you might want to consider offering yourself as a mentor to other people who find themselves in that position, because I so want to reinforce that point that Catherine made, and Noel said something about this as well, that it's important to reach out to others that you might be able to help through your own experience.
Mike, thank you so much. And Noel, I know this is something AARP has studied a great deal, whether it's the difficulty sometimes people have who are older going back to work because of either explicit or implicit age discrimination, but also the opportunity that there is both for employers and employees. So why don't you expand on this a little bit, this post-retirement workforce?
The same survey that I mentioned earlier, called Vital Voices, very specific to Maine, you know, where we had an overwhelming 88%, you know, that responded said that wisdom comes with age and that there is value in passing it on, or that 2 and 3 feel like becoming more involved in helping others as they age is a really important aspect of aging. The same survey, we also found that 64% of them think that older adults become less visible as they get older. You know, and it's not how they feel, it's how the society and how the society feels about them, right? So there's a difference between how they view aging and themselves versus how the society does. And also 57% of them felt like older workers are excluded from employment opportunities and from promotions, you know, and 66 believe age discrimination exists in the workplace. So there's a difference between one wanting to be more involved, more engaged, and wanting to contribute to the society, and how the society is responding to them, because when they see them, they see an older adult. And, you know, so there's something to be said about that. But at the same time, when you talk to older adults who are wanting to come back to work, there are many older adults who, you know, they're for whatever reason, realize that they want to come back to work. And it's what are we doing as a society, as employers, as businesses, to really accommodate this aging demographic that would, you know, meet their needs while also meeting the needs of the employer. And I think there's a great phenomenal opportunity there.
And Catherine, I know you've done a lot of research on this.
Yes, we have. And it is a really exciting trend of people coming out of retirement or the unretirement movement, it's called. And it's becoming even more common because a lot of people stepped out of the workforce during the pandemic and now they're looking to get back in. And it could be for a number of reasons. Of course, money always helps, a paycheck, but it also leads to meaning, purpose, adding value, contributing in ways, just staying connected and involved. And we see a number of different scenarios how it comes about. Some actually get called back by their employers, or word gets out that they're interested and available in their community, and people's phones start ringing. Don't underestimate the power of the phone. Phones do still ring, even in this day and age. And then others seek it out, but there are growing opportunities. I will say in our research that we've seen that employers are kind of have they've been sort of slow for the light bulb to go on, that there's this vast talent pool that is ready, willing, and able to work, but they're starting to see the light, they're starting to get it. And we're seeing in states that have rapidly aging populations or experiencing population aging, and Maine is one of those states, that employers are far more open-minded than they are in younger states.
We
So
are
there's
talking
opportunities out there.
about retirement on Maine Calling. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. We are talking today about modern retirement. What does it mean to retire? How to think about it? What the reality really looks like? My guest, Catherine Collinson, founding CEO of Transamerica Institute and the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. Teresa Amabile is with Harvard Business School, and she has a new book coming out in October. It is called Retiring, Creating a Life That Works for You. And with me, Noelle Bonham with AARP Maine. Join our conversation. Lots of calls coming in. You might be able to squeeze in 1-800-399-3566, our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. Teresa, before the break, I didn't go to you because we had to go to a break, but go ahead and follow up on what the others are saying.
Noel mentioned something about employers, and I wanted to say that in our research, we discovered that employers could do a much better job of easing the transition to retirement at the same time that they're helping themselves. One big way is to institute a transition to retirement program where older workers who feel like they'd like a little bit more time to themselves, they want a little bit less of their lives consumed by work, but still have so much wisdom and knowledge and skill and desire to contribute to the company, to its customers, to their colleagues. A transition to retirement program can be fabulous. And we studied people from one company that had a great program like this, where you promise to retire at a certain point, 12 months or 18 months hence. And at that point, you reduce your work week for a reduced salary, but it's not reduced as much as you're reducing your hours. So it's actually financially beneficial. In fact, one company had a retirement program where people could reduce to 4 days a week and get paid for five, or reduce to 3 days a week and get paid for four, and retain all their benefits. The individual can begin to explore retirement and ease into those new identities and those new activities at the same time that they're still contributing to the company. And the company can plan, this person's going to be leaving at this point in time. We can bring in someone new then to fulfill their position.
Noel.
That's such a great example, Teresa. And I think on the other side, it'd also be great for organizations and employers to put in programs that not they might do a really good job recruiting older adults, but how do you keep them engaged, right? And when we talk to older adults who are going back to the workforce, 91% say they want to go back to working to stay mentally active. 89% say that They want to go back to work to do something interesting, right? But when you talk about going back to what Catherine said earlier about financial reasons, that's at the bottom of the list, 78%. That's still pretty high, but not as high as 91, 89%, right? So what can employers do to kind of really, leverage that, those reasons for why people go back to work?
We're going to go to Rick calling from Farmington. Hi, Rick, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks so much for having this important conversation. I'm a recent retiree after a very intense 40-year career. My last position was running a 1,200-unit restaurant chain, which was based all over the world. So I was pretty engaged. And then I will never forget the day sitting on a plane getting ready to leave Des Moines, Iowa from a meeting to come back to Maine, and the phone just stopped ringing. Text mail stopped coming in. Email stopped coming in. It was the most eerie feeling I ever remember having. And since then, all the friends that I have made over 40 years have begun to slowly dissipate. People aren't calling anymore. And it's sad because now I'm looking forward to a dentist appointment next week, so I have a new face to go in and talk to. And one thing that really grabbed me here was that I think it was Teresa mentioned this employer program of employers or companies really understanding the assets they have with their human capital. They may be aging, but they've got an enormous amount of experience and expertise. And if you could find a way to help folks transition out of a career and avoid what Dartmouth says is one of the top 10 most stressful events in your life, believe it or not, comparing it to a prison stay, I think that folks would go a long way in working together to try to solve the problem of filling both a talent vacuum that we have in the workplace, as well as helping retirees kind of make that transition.
Rick, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. And boy, my heart just goes out to you. Teresa, what are your thoughts?
You know, my heart breaks for Mike. This is an all too common story. And that employer could have done so much better to have offered Mike and others in Mike's position, perhaps, the opportunity to transition out of his position while mentoring others with the wisdom and the knowledge he gained about customers and customer management and managing operations and everything else that he had to offer. It would have been so much better for Mike, and I think really better for the company too. What's going on in the minds of Mike's coworkers who see what happened to him, right? His older coworkers who say, okay, this place really doesn't care about us at all. That's how people can experience, that's one way they can experience age discrimination in the workplace.
Yeah, and you know, Teresa, one thing I'm thinking, listening to Rick's story and listening to others today, is for those of us who are still in the workforce and have colleagues who've retired, maybe this is a wake-up call to reach out and just take a few moments from your day when you're running on the treadmill of life to think about the people you really do care about. And maybe you have been thinking about them, but haven't, even though you've been thinking about them, you haven't made that effort to reach out and make a call.
Yes, Rick, may that happen for you.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. An email here from Jane. A significant issue when retired is when a spouse or partner dies. You may have established many plans for your retirement, and then you must go through a transition again of being retired alone. Many issues change, including financial concerns and also things like travel and social opportunities. And Jane, thank you so much for raising this because, yeah, let's face it, everybody at some point, most everybody will be alone at some point and possibly when they're older. And I'm wondering which of you wants to sort of, Teresa, I'll go back to you, jump in and talk about this second transition.
We had a wonderful person in our research whom I interviewed, I think 10 times over about 6 years as he was going through the retirement transition. He had gotten to a point after maybe 3-4 years in retirement where he felt he and his wife had settled into a really nice rhythm, routine of doing some travel together and yet having their own activities that they found very rewarding. They had a new grandchild in their lives. they were engaging with their adult children in really satisfying ways and with many friends that they had. Then she had a routine operation and died in surgery. And this was during the height of the pandemic. So, you know, what could Jay do? Fortunately, he had somewhat with his wife, but somewhat on his own, developed more and more relationships in retirement that stood him in such good stead. Most significant, I think, were his adult children, especially his son, who was unmarried. His son moved in with him for a while, and they mourned together. They laughed together about foibles of the deceased mom and wife, and they really began to pick up the pieces together. But there were many others in Jay's life who helped him during this extraordinarily difficult time.
Catherine.
Just want to add to that, and this is a call to action for all of us, because the life happens. And when it happens to somebody that we know and love, it's so important that we reach out and help out in any way that's necessary. And that's such a beautiful story about the adult child moving back in for a while. Helping people through transitions is really what life is all about. And that's something, you know, we've heard a couple of themes: grieving, we've heard some loneliness, we've heard about bumpy transitions. This is something that we all can do our part and help those that we love and help those in our communities.
Noel. Thank you.
I think, it's a known fact that people need social interaction. You know, it is a part of what makes us human. And retirement and aging and finding companionship or connection, social connections, is such an integral part of being retired, or at least having a fulfilling experience as a retired person. And, you know, and again, going back to what Catherine said, it might not always be someone you know either, because in a state like Maine, which is very remote, very rural, not everybody knows everyone. I mean, in some ways, people think like all Mainers know all other Mainers, but at the same time, there's in the rural parts, you don't know your neighbors like you would in an urban city. And I know a story of a young person who actually moved into her neighbor's home to take care of her when her mother died, and realized that her mother's friend, you know, a neighbor, mother's neighbor, not even mother's friend, was in a similar situation and had no kith and kin. So she moved in with that person to kind of take care of her. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, leveraging those human connections, social connections, and making more of an effort as a society to support each other, particularly those who are retiring.
We're going to go to Anne, who's calling from Kennebunkport. Hi, Anne. We're tight on time, so if you could be quick, that'd be great.
Okay, great. I'm calling to talk about libraries. It's been a very helpful transition for me. I retired three times before I finally retired, and I joined, before we actually moved to Kennebunkport, I joined the local book group. Those people are still my friends. There are men and women in it. From there, I went to volunteering at the library. Libraries have become community centers. We have movie nights. There are discussion groups about grief and all kinds of things. And I think looking to our library is a good place to start, a great way to meet some new people and to get involved, and then to connect to other parts of your community. Everybody,
thank you so much. And thank you so much for calling in. And I can't tell you how often on Maine Calling, the answer to a question is the library. So yet another time, the answer to the question is the library. Teresa, quickly, please. Thanks.
I just want to say, and yay for you, and yay for our wonderful public institutions like libraries that are resources there for all of us, especially at difficult times in our lives. They can be so important.
Yeah, thank you, Anne. I'm going to end with an email that's a happy one. This is from Michael. He writes, I retired twice, once at age 50 from a public service job, and then again at 60 from a private agency job. After that, for a couple years, I worked on a part-time temporary basis for a neighbor contractor. Since then, now age 77, I've been fully retired. The best thing I think about retirement is that I have almost total control of my time. I really don't miss working, but keep busy around camp, splitting wood, tinkering, researching on the internet. Retirement is good. So, Michael, thank you for that. And thank you to our guests so much for this conversation. And a reminder that tomorrow we'll be talking about retirement again, but we're going to have a focus on financial matters, and our guest will be personal finance expert Michelle Singletary. So our guest, thank you so much. Noelle Bonham, Maine State Director for AARP, Teresa Amabile, co-author of a brand new book called Retiring, Creating a Life That Works for You. It's out in October. And Catherine Collinson, founding CEO of the Transamerica Institute and Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. Today's sound engineer is Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.